Welcome to Zero Knowledge. I'm your host, Anna Rose. In this podcast, we will be exploring the latest in zero knowledge research and the decentralized web, as well as new paradigms that promise to change the way we interact and transact online. This week, I get together with my amazing ZK podcast co-hosts, Tarun, Guillermo, Nico, and Kobe, to do a look forward at 2024 in ZK. We cover emerging ideas for the coming year, research predictions, dream applications, the best case scenario for ZK, the worst case scenario for ZK, the most likely case, black swans, and more. We also do a very brief look back at 2023 with Nico and Kobe, who are missing from our last episode, and we give you some insights into upcoming events. Speaking of upcoming events, before we kick off, I want to share a little bit about ZK Hack 4 online. This four-week event runs from January 16th to February 6th. This is not a hackathon, but more like a crash course in ZK. It's pretty unique as an event, as it combines three things over the span of 4 weeks. It is a live virtual workshop series where we meet every Tuesday to learn about new ZK tools. It's also a CTF-like puzzle hacking competition with three puzzles running over the 4 weeks. And it's a job fair, where you could connect with and get to know your future employer in a very casual virtual setting. In this episode, we're going to be sharing more about the puzzles themselves and how they're going to be running. So stay tuned to the end of the episode where we cover that. The geometry research team has built the puzzles this time around, and so they're going to be sharing a bit more about what they have planned. We are very excited to announce our workshop partners, Risk Zero, who's presenting on January 23rd, and Polygon Labs, who are presenting on January 30th. Be sure to check those out. And also join us for our first session happening on January 16th. In this session, we go over the entire event, how it runs, what to expect. We will then be doing something called the ZK Jargon Decoder session, and this will be me, Nico, and Kobe. You'll hear a little bit more about this as well later on in the episode. And then at the end of that first session on January 16th, we kick off our first puzzle. So I really recommend you join us for that, just to get to know this event. This is our fourth time running this online event. It's a great way to get to know the ZK Hack community from all over the world without needing to travel. And yes, I hope to see you there. I've added the link in the show notes. Now Tanya will share a little bit about this week's sponsor.
Aleo is a new layer one blockchain that achieves the programmability of Ethereum, the privacy of Zcash, and the scalability of a rollup. Driven by a mission for a truly secure internet, Aleo has interwoven zero-knowledge proofs into every facet of their stack, resulting in a vertically integrated layer one blockchain that's unparalleled in its approach. Aleo is ZK by design. Dive into their programming language Leo and see what permissionless development looks like, offering boundless opportunities for developers and innovators to build ZK apps. As Aleo is gearing up for their mainnet launch in Q1, this is an invitation to be part of a transformational ZK journey. Dive deeper and discover more about Aleo at aleo.org. And now, here's our episode.
Today, we are doing our look forward at 2024. And I want to welcome my amazing co-hosts. We have Nico, Kobe, Tarun, and Guillermo with us today. Welcome, everybody.
Thank you. Thank you.
Happy to be here.
What's up?
Happy 2024.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's right. We're here. So the plan for today is to definitely look forward at 2024 in the ZK space. But we have two of our co-hosts, Nico and Kobe, who were not present in our last session where we did a look back at 2023. So I actually want us to spend some time at the beginning of this episode talking to them about what they experienced or what sort of stood out to them in 2023. And before we do any of this, any look back or look forward, I usually don't have to mention this because we always talk about tech, but given that we're doing predictions, I will just say a quick, this is not advice or anything in what you should invest in, obviously. I feel like that should go without saying, but I figured I'd throw it out there since we are kind of trying to predict. Yeah. Okay. So let's kick off our look back at 2023. Nico, Kobe, what are you thinking?
Yeah. Well, for me, research-wise, 2023 was super interesting. Mm-hmm. We had the whole folding saga at the beginning. Then we had all the, like, the return of GKR, you know, like all this like lasso stuff, log up stuff. And then around the end, we had Binius come up. So I think 2023 was super research heavy, and that's part of what I'm looking forward to in 2024. It's going to be like people experimenting with all this stuff.
What about you, Kobe? What do you remember from 2023?
Yeah, I think that the last year I gave it a theme, and I'm trying to remember what it was. Was it the year of lookups, or was it the year of folding?
2023.
No, 2022.
22, I think you would have said lookups.
Yeah.
And I think that that recently what we've seen is that a lot of new folding work has come out, and I think that there is much bigger hope that we can use proving systems for use cases that haven't been possible before. And yeah, we'll talk about it more later. But more generally, I've been very encouraged to see topics like identity come up for 2023. That was very, very strong for me. And something that I've been waiting for many years. And additionally, the ability to use ZK by people that don't have ZK training, let's say it like that. And I think that's also something that has become just more recently practical. So those have been really influential for me.
Cool. Would you say, though, that 2023, research-wise, was the year of folding?
Good question. I need to review it, but I like making these themes, but let's tentatively call it like that, I guess.
Okay. Except for at the end, Binius comes in, which
exactly.
is something else.
Okay. And then he shuffles all the cards, right? So
That's the fun part.
We can give it two halves, right?
Yeah.
First half is folding, and second half is
generic ECC-based constructions. Error correcting code, not...
I'd go even further. Like, for the past years, we've been obsessed with putting proofs on-chain and having smart contracts verify proofs. So in that context, you want, like, the smallest possible proof, the shortest possible verifier, and we sort of obsessed over that. So you get to Groth 16, and we're happy. But if you start dialing it back and be like, oh, I want proofs happening on, I don't know, a consumer laptop, and I don't care who verifies, then you dial it back and you go back to things like GKR, Binius, or like back, not really back in the case of Binius, but you start loosening the requirements of small proofs for the requirements of fast provers. And I think that was the theme for at least the second half of 2023. Even folding actually is sort of in that direction.
I want to also bring up something because when we did our look back at 2023 last month, I hadn't really prepped that much for that. Like we just sort of spontaneously were together and we're like, let's make it the 2023 look back. But today I actually had a chance to listen to our 2023 predictions.
Extensive preparation.
Yeah. And I want to bring up two, three things that we covered. So Tarun, your big question at the time was like, what is the asset class, kind of the asset that will define the next year? And to give examples of previous assets, you'd been like sort of the LP token, the strategy bearing tokens or asset, like things like what Yearn was doing. Those were past ones. And yeah, you were trying to predict a future one. You had one about ZK.
Uh-oh.
Which was about...
Because there are none of them now.
I don't think it happened, but it was something like being able to go cross-chain with ZK proving like liquidity on one chain to another. Do you remember this at all?
I vaguely remember saying that, but I don't remember precisely what I said. For being
Sorry,
totally
I'm
honest.
Totally putting you guys on the spot.
I will say, I think that like sort of happened. I feel like some of the bridges do kind of do that, but they all are kind of still half-assed. Like, I don't think they've crossed the chasm to what we talked about. So
yeah, they're not like the defining asset. Guillermo, you had one, which was future claims for interchain MEV. Cross-chain promises.
Also doesn't, no one cares about that.
Nobody cares.
No.
Really? Oh, shit.
It's just there's not that much of cross-chain MEV. Okay.
That's right.
Not yet.
Yeah, not yet. Maybe at some
Well,
point.
I think you need the former thing of like the bridged liquidity first. Yeah. Then people are fine doing it. But I feel like no one wants to take the risk of waiting on the bridge right now.
was there some big theme for 2023 that you could kind of summarize in that context, in that thing you had sort of suggested, Tarun, something that did work? What is the asset of 2023?
Alt layer ones. I don't like, there's not really much. Unfortunately, all the assets that got liquidity were not necessarily new assets. They were the old assets getting new money.
Okay.
Sad.
sad 2023.
Well, because I feel like a lot of the technical stuff didn't lead to new assets this year. There was a lot of technical advancements that didn't, you know, instead we got a ton of dog shit meme coins, right? Like we didn't get like
with hats
much. We got like dogs with hats, right? We didn't get ZK asset. We didn't get these kind of technical. But this podcast is about the highfalutin technical desires.
So. It sounds very like late stage bear market that you were this sort of like rehashing. People were exhausted. That's why it's so exciting that we're now in 2024. We can properly put, 2023 wasn't bad. 2022 was rough. 2023 was okay, but I think it's still great to put it behind us. And now we can start looking forward. I had a few questions, or I basically sent you all a few topics that we could cover. What I want us to do is a prediction. And obviously, predictions are flawed, and we're going to be creative here. We don't know what's going to come out correct, what's just an idea. Maybe something we'll predict now isn't really a 2024 prediction, but a later prediction. We'll see what comes. But the first one that I wanted to talk about were the emerging ideas that we think could come in 2024. And so these are like, it's a pretty broad, like, what is an idea? It's like concept. This is like theory proposals that we think might come this year.
I mean, I have one it's like more of a desiderata rather than like a real thing, but the merging of what feels like two very different currently strains of ZK into like one in a very deep way. So specifically something like Binius or like Fry or like, you know, any one of these with some kind of high level, like fancy cryptographic algebraic structure, right? Like the kind of currently they're very separate things. There's like things that use deep cryptography. There's things that use deep results in error correcting codes. And those are kind of different for the most part, not quite 100%, but for the most part different. I think the better way of saying it is sometime this year we'll see like a deep union between the two in a way that's actually, you know, it's not what people are currently doing, which is they're proving something, for example, in Fry, and then using a second prover to construct a shorter proof that goes on chain via some kind of deep cryptographic techniques. So that's my prediction, my like research hope for this year. Is to see like a really, really deep protocol that uses both things and structure from both things in ways that are like very not obvious currently.
Nice. One thing I've been thinking about, and I think it's ever since we did that episode, Kobe, with Kostas and Ayush, this idea of more Web 2 into Web 3, more porting of identities from one to another. Years ago, Mina was touting that with ZK apps. What became ZK apps was this idea that you could all of a sudden prove things in Web 2. But I felt like, with that experiment, it seemed to me to be opening up something towards this year, where maybe instead of just talking about like the technical of how to do that, we actually get to see use cases where it's super, super useful and interesting. And
I had that down too.
Agreed. Did you?
Completely. Yeah. ZK email, ZK login. And all the sort of proving TLS session stuff, so like TLS notary and all the different constructions that do the same thing, I think those are going to be super important.
Similarly, I think the identity work is like super important. I'm not sure how much on the research side yet. I do see that there's going to be advancements in, let's say, the implementation and performance side, and maybe some breakthroughs as to how to connect it in a more holistic way. But some things that maybe it's less of a prediction, but more of a hope, is that some cryptographic primitives that have been less, how to call it, less profitable, or like non-snarks.
So unrealized profit, unrealized.
Something like that. So things like verifiable MPC and potentially verifiable FHE. Those might end up being important for use cases later on. And I'm seeing seeds of interest in them, like concrete interest. And maybe there's going to be either a breakthrough or at least some order of magnitude improvement there.
Would you say the reason we haven't seen that pick up is maybe because you can't make a blockchain with it?
Yeah, I think that's definitely one of the things.
Or maybe you can, they just haven't figured out how to yet.
I think some people are thinking about it. Okay. But yeah, it's not as obvious. It's interactive sometimes and it requires some new communication model that is not as convenient. And I think more concretely, one of the big explosions that we've seen for ZK was scaling, and there isn't something that is super figured out for those technologies yet. And now we see that people are having ideas as to what to do with these things, and they see that the community around them or the public starts to care more about the properties that these give you, will potentially move away from something centralized eventually. Not immediately, but eventually. So I think the combination of these might lead to more interest there. We'll see.
I have the opposite take, unfortunately. despite wanting that to be true for sort of personal reasons. Which is I actually think we're gonna see way more TE stuff this year, unfortunately.
Oh.
And ORAM type of things. I think we're not going to see as much as of other stuff. Like in practice, I feel like there definitely feels like I haven't seen that as much interest in a resurgence in interest in TE stuff as I saw in like 2018. I feel like TEs were like kind of dying. Maybe there was a little bit of a boot bump with Flashbots, but then like it seems like a bunch of people are like, we're just going to go back to TE. So my counter to Kobe's is I actually think the unfortunate like Occam's razor aspect of like, well, we'll trust Intel is going to happen.
You know, until the next paper that says, hey, SGX is completely broken, and then the hope dwindles again. And
then you'll have a week, you know.
It'll be for exactly. I feel like the half-life of that thing is decreasing as the more exploits. It's like it should be increasing with the number of exploits, but it's decreasing, which is not good.
By the way, I wouldn't be sad if people do TEs, but they do it in ways that are better than they're doing it now. And they have better security models and they thresholdize and all of this. I think that would actually not make me that sad if people use TEs to combine.
I mean,
it's
a defense in depth kind of mechanism, like combining it with other techniques.
Exactly.
On another topic for 2024 emerging prediction here is, like, I think it's already kind of happening where all the roll-ups are ZK roll-ups. Eventually.
What do you mean by ZK?
Some form of ZK. Like, they're going to incorporate ZK somehow. I mean, I think we've seen it with some of the big optimistic projects, like investing in ZK. I mean, I know it partly because they'll reach out to me all of a sudden for, like, the summit or something where I'm like, guys aren't ZK, but you know, maybe they are a little bit. So yeah, I wonder, what do you think?
Well, how fast or real do you think those efforts are? Because I actually think there's like many things moving at the same time. It's not, I'm not convinced they're like pot committed, let's put it that way.
I think that might be true. Yeah, maybe they're just dabbling, just exploring.
I mean, how committed are they to fraud proofs in general? That's also a question.
Right. I think there's a lot of steps along the way here that make it a little more. I'm not 100% sure it's worth. I wouldn't quite stand by the everyone's ZK rollup statement.
I guess my question is like, why did it become a thing now? You know, why did everyone decide to? Because it does feel like it was a wave, right? It just kind of a bunch of people were like, yeah, we should just
do
the sync proof ZK thing.
Because bisection proofs are impossible to audit. Like, honestly, they're really annoying to audit. Like, have you looked at some of the bisection code base? It's like, I want to kill myself reading.
What is that? Is that a fraud proof? Is fraud proof bisection?
Yeah, it's like the sort of base algorithm within these types of fraud proofs. And it's just like, it's very hard to reason about the changes to state especially to particular applications in a way that I feel like it's yeah, the security, being 100% sure of the security of it's really hard. But then again, like, hey, if no one really cares at all about these things, then maybe
no, but one of the reason could also be like the ZK rollups war are over, I guess. The first ZK rollup is out, and now these people who are like, oh, I'm not going to get involved, suddenly think like, okay, here's a space I can get into.
Aren't the snarks also just like better? Like how to use them, the sort of like down the line consequences have been mapped out a little bit. And so a lot of these teams are like, oh, that's how it works. Yeah.
I mean, if I say snarks are bad, I go out of business. So I kind of have to say that they're great. They're much better. They're the best.
Well, I think another way of thinking about it is like, suppose you did optimistic. You got a huge market cap. You have a ton of usage. The ZK rollups look like dog shit. Comparison, like market cap and usage wise, for reasons
they're
not that are not their
the
fault.
Game. Yeah,
they're later to the game. They like it's hard to convince people to move their liquidity. Incentive programs aren't as sticky, are stickier in certain assets in certain ways. Bridge liquidity is more annoying. Like there's not as much, you know. There's tons of reasons that they're not like fundamental reasons. Like you know, you could imagine the universe slightly mutating the timeline of everyone, and then you know we would be talking about Scroll or someone like that being like the largest TVL thing. But you know, whatever, that's just the way it is. But once you have a large market cap and large TVL, it becomes a lot easier to be like, hey, I can add all these features other people have, right? And I feel like that's really more what's happening. But it's not clear to me that there's like commitment of like, hey, this is it's more like it would be cool if we could do it.
Yeah. Do you think there could be some other thing that comes up this year that like replaces both of those things? Is there anything?
Replaces or like augments?
We're talking like economic versus cryptographic, but is there another kind of cryptography?
I mean, yeah, you could do both, right? You could do like whatever.
You have the naysayer
proofs or something.
Naysayer proofs, yeah.
So it's a mix of both, although it's quite a bit of overhead. But it'd be kind of a fun thing.
I do think like the problem with a lot of the we do both things is the wall clock implementation time of that. Just like I mean, like I said, just like reading some of the optimistic fraud proof code, I actually feel like it's conceptually harder to follow like the state machine of what's happening than a ZK VM, which is like crazy to me.
Yeah, I feel like you should be able to make like a very nice abstraction for like rolling back a blockchain, because kind of you have to do that all the time, like whenever you fork or whatever.
But the problem is these like bisection proofs are sort of like not as simple as you think, because I have to decide whether I'm invalidating state or execution or, you know, like, and like traipse through both of those in both dimensions. And like in the ZK case, you kind of are like, okay, I can assume this checkpoint is correct from here onwards. In the bisection case, there's a lot of like, oh, like, do I need to reload the state variable or not? And like, is it valid at this time? It's quite a bit more hairy, because you can't trust the, you either do the N squared replay, which takes forever, or you do this kind of like, I keep track of like what I've touched and dirtied and not dirtied. And it's quite a annoying. I just think it's like conceptually simple, but oh, just go look at the unit tests for these things. They're hairy.
There's another thing to remember possibly about doing both, which is that you might gain a lot by doing the fraud proof part in ZK and like avoid bisection, and maybe the structure looks more like looks nicer. You know, the internals are still really ugly and hard to audit, but that's the internals. And, you know, maybe in 2024 we'll have better self-contained audited gadgets, but that's like another question. But when you still do both, you just went one step and you probably need to take a few more to actually gain some other properties that ZK rollups have around amortization, which you're not really going to get with that approach.
To Kobe's point about verifiable FHE and verifiable MPC, I think on the positive side, I do feel like rollups end up being the place that people will experiment with those and somehow pretend that they don't need a token. So, you know, like I think that that'll be an interesting experiment. And I think it's sort of in the vein of like this thing you're saying, like, what if we move past optimistic or ZK? Well, I think one of those things is like your best candidate.
Mm. All right. So the next kind of overarching topic that I wanted to cover were research predictions specifically. Nico, you hinted at a few of these, but I'm curious on the ZK front, you know, if we want to say, let's just for simplicity say 2022 lookups, 2023 folding, 2024 small fields. Like, what is it?
Maybe small fields, I think multivariate polynomial IOPs. So, you know, we've been in univariate land for so long. I think multivariate is, we've seen a lot of it at the end of 2023.
Okay.
And I think we're going to see more in 2024. And again, this idea of we no longer need to think about posting proofs on chain. So we are happy with longer proofs, but faster provers. That also comes from this sort of confidence we have that, oh yeah, don't worry, worst case, we'll put that hardware in a proof, right? Oh no, not just hardware. Oh. Sometimes people are like, oh, we make these big proofs, but don't worry, I'll wrap it in a Groth 16 proof. Mm. I'm not sure it's that easy, and I think maybe we're going to need people to look at that a bit closer and actually build these wrapping proofs and make them fast. So maybe that's something for 2024.
Kobe?
I think in terms of research, I would avoid for myself to make predictions on the low level stuff. Mm-hmm. But what I think we might see more from teams publishing is using these new methods of either using lookups in a very extensive way, or using binary fields, or using small fields, or so on. I think we will see more papers that exploit the composition of these things, and more constructions that are using the composition of these things, and potentially also addressing what Nico was saying around, yes, let's wrap things and let's make it happen. I believe we'll at least see some teams making concrete progress around those, because that will be a big improvement of performance. So that's something that I would expect to see on the applied research side. And more concretely, I think one of the things that we've seen in recent papers was that they've attached benchmarks, they've shown some stuff, but I'm not sure that these benchmarks are really applicable. Like, they talk about table sizes, they talk about measures that don't necessarily translate to what I'm going to need to understand whether this fits my applications. And I hope that we'll see more works that address that part as well. And I think we've seen one of them, which is called ZK Bench, which is nice. Mm-hmm. But I'm pretty sure that we'll see more of that. Mm.
I was wondering, do you think that in 2024, a research paper about ZK from the Solana team could come out? Is there any chance that Solana gives a shit about ZK in 2024?
No. So there are teams that will implement ZK stuff, mm-hmm. no yes. doubt. Do I expect new research from them? No. But I do think there'll be implementations. I think it's like mm-hmm. Light protocol that actually is like sort of live-ish. I think like you will see tons of stuff there, but not definitely not like research. Just right. People porting over code bases of other things.
I mean, I think you'll see other things appearing in Solana land, but there'll be less ZK.
I mean, what does the dog with the hat need privacy for? Like, that's the first question to ask.
I mean, who knows? Maybe the crazy NFT market over there forces a need for ZK. Maybe the real ZK DAO voting. I know there's been experiments, but maybe it's there that it really takes off. But that still wouldn't be research. It wouldn't necessarily be like, yeah, new ZK proofs.
I do think their Gnosis Safe alternative and DAO stuff is actually really good. They actually formally verified it. Like, it's actually the two, I think, largest fully formally verified code bases in crypto are probably Safe and Squads. And then, of course, a bunch of DeFi protocols have formally verified a lot of the pieces, but not maybe the whole thing. But these multi-sigs that are DAO multi-sigs have been like the most stress tested formally. And I think that the Solana one's actually probably second to say it's like, you know, in terms of rigor. So I think on the engineering side, you're going to see tons of stuff. There's not going to be zero research. Mm.
All right. I think we can move on to our next category, which is dream applications.
Ooh.
Like, at least the way I formulate this is it's sort of user-facing applications, something mm-hmm. that like an end user could potentially touch. So does anyone want to go first on this one?
I don't know what application yet, but my dream for 2024 is to see like something outside blockchain and Web3 mm-hmm. and something kind of tiny and inconspicuous, you know, something where people don't actually really know that they're using ZK, but it kind of works. And eventually they'll realize it's necessary. Like, I want that little seed to be planted.
Cool.
Don't know how, but I want that to happen.
So I had a few things on my list. So one of these would be, again, like going back to identity work, I would want to see more ways for people to use their Web2 identities and basically use cryptographic signatures they already have to do things on chain. That would be great. Again, I would want to see this in a seamless way, like Nico said. That would be really, really awesome. And as a consequence, I hope that client-side proving will improve, because that will be something that has not been thoroughly looked at. And that also connects to, you know, this topic of attested sensors and all mm-hmm. of these transformations that you do on signed data. And I would really want to see that explored more, because that might unlock ways to use it outside of crypto, which would be great. Although there I also see intermediate ways of doing it with some cryptography and like some TEs maybe, but like that could be interesting as well. And in terms of what else I would want to see, and again, this is just my dream again, which is I want to see more experiments with MPC. So for example, gaming infrastructure using MPC, that would be really, really amazing. Because that would be this kind of non-financial privacy that users can use again without feeling they're using something heavy or weird. Those are things that would be cool.
Yeah, I mean, I have a weirder, higher level dream that's like maybe not an exact application, but it's just like right now, kind of what Kobe was gesturing at, which is like ZK feels like this very heavy thing, right? You want to do something, it's like has to go out to like a server farm somewhere in the middle of nowhere, consume a bunch of electricity to get back to you with a, you know, a nice 256 bit proof of whatever the hell you want. And what I want to see actually, and what would be really cool is, and this also gets a little bit to Nico's thing, which is, you can do things on your computer. You press enter, something gets shipped off, and it's straight from your computer. That's fully actually privacy preserving, not this fake thing that we kind of do right now.
Yep.
That sits in someone's like 4090 GPU or whatever. And your computer actually doesn't warm up too much when you do it, right? So it functions as a cat friendly, but at least still human friendly lap warmer. So that's the dream. I mean, that's the high level. Silly dream of just like making things truly practical. Mm-hmm. I think the lower level but kind of interesting dream is Apple adds attested photos to an iPhone.
Ooh.
And I think it'll happen. I mean, there's no reason why right now Apple can't just sign like, you know, a picture you take from your iPhone or something, right? They already have a bunch of things, like all their parts are DRM'd and all this crap, which I'm not going to comment whether that's good or not. But they're essentially right now the company most well posed to do this kinds of things is actually Apple, because they have such tight control over what things exist in their phones and things like that. And I'm pretty sure using their like fancy... whatever, the T2 chip or whatever. Actually, now it's a different one, but they should be able to do this kind of thing quite easily, actually.
Isn't this bad for WorldCoin if that happens? Because then anyone and their mom will just make WorldCoin as an app on their ZK chain and you don't need the orb?
Good.
I have no idea. I mean, I don't think you can do general... You can do a lot of stuff, but you can't do general computation on their current chip.
I just need the attestation, and then I can basically replicate most of the world ID.
Well, you need the attestation. Yeah, the question is, like, what do they do attestation for? Is it just images, or is it, like,
facial scans, or
something? You know, I was thinking just images, because I think other things will probably require a pretty nice user-accessible API. But for images, I mean, if you just sign a thing with like one of the keys that Apple has, you know, and you go check apple.com/, you know, pub keys or something, you can be like, cool, yeah, like this image actually was signed and this key hasn't been revoked, so actually we're cool, this was taken on an iPhone. That would be very interesting.
Yes. But by the way, I think Apple is positioned to do it not only because of its tight control, but also because it has shown that it is that they're interested in making changes in that direction. For example, end-to-end encryption in iCloud is kind of mind-blowing to me. The fact of that it works well and it is actually good. Like their design is great. So
same with Time Machine. If you've ever used Time Machine, it's insane. Like.
In what you're describing there, that's the attestation. It's not a ZKP in it, in like.
Oh, but then you can start proving that the editing you did.
Yeah.
On this attested photo.
But you're not saying Apple would provide that, like, because like, wouldn't it be really cool if Apple had the attestation and the filters that also like, and maybe they would have that where they're using a ZKP through any sort of filtering, any sort of like post production. Mm-hmm. And actually spit out something that's like proven back to the source.
Yeah, they might acquire someone who does it.
I think the simplest thing right now that's going to happen is like you just provide the original that's signed, and then you just provide the edits, and someone can be like, "Oh yeah, like those are actually not that different," or something.
Yeah,
you know.
Hmm.
Yeah.
I'm sure at some point, actually, they could even do it all in TE or something. I don't know if they're going to do this, but or they could do the ZK stuff.
The Vision Pro has a good TE or like Enclave.
Oh, it does.
Like it has, it has like a much better Enclave than the phone. So I'm actually more curious about the Vision Pro as like the thing that is easier to do this with than the, and I think it comes out in like 2 weeks or something now. So
what is the Vision Pro? Is it a video camera?
The VR, the mixed reality really goggles.
Yeah.
Apple.
It has a much Apple better set of processing.
Sorry, I think you meant the spatial computing device.
Sorry. I forgot marketing speak 101, my bad.
But you're the CMO, Tarun.
No, I'm the CMO for this podcast. I'm not the CMO for Apple. CMO for Apple is like above my pay grade.
Actually, back to your first point, Guillermo, like I had something similar written down, which is ZK creds, which is like this paper from 2-3 years ago. And it's basically you and your government ID at home, making that into an anonymous credential. Mm-hmm. You're at home, you're using standard hardware, there's no trusted party, you interact with a blockchain maybe a bit, but that's it. You transform your government-issued ID into an anonymous credential that you can use anywhere you want.
Mm-hmm.
And that's on my like dream list for 2024. Like, and I think teams are building towards that. And that feeds into the sort of ZK email, ZK login type of thing. It's also the same kind of reasoning going on.
Yeah, and I think pulling on that thread, things being kind of SDKable and being extensible will be an increasing theme, which would be great. Mm. I would love to see that.
Tarun, do you have a dream application?
I mean, mine are always the boring ones, like, you know, using it in an MEV auction instead of a TE. You know, like, basically take all the shit people do at TEs and find one of those fucking things and, like, do it with ZK or IO or whatever, you know, like in the case of like Signal, right? Signal is a great example of someone who uses fucking ORAM and SGX and could do things with ZK, but literally has said it would cost them 100 times as much and their UX sucks and they tried and they gave up. And I feel like those use cases are very tangible and like here today, right? Like Signal.
I actually wrote a paper with Kobe about having an alternative for their like SGX ORAM thing.
Really?
I just think those things are so, those things are so easy. Like those things exist already and they're more like engineering plus optimization than they are like you need a new prover.
Completely.
But no one finds them sexy, right? Everyone would rather like they get their 10% better folding mechanism out instead of working on that.
I mean, I have more criticisms for Signal more generally in terms of how they use cryptography, right? Like, even their use of cryptography is not just they're not using ZK. It's more that they have this whole double ratchet thing and that can give you OTR off the record so that you can effectively deny any message that you've sent. But you don't have any tool to do that. So that's why people can still see a screenshot from Signal and believe it. And that shouldn't be the case. Like, if I see a screenshot from Signal, it should be completely fake. Like maybe when I send the message, it should just be garbage right after.
Don't tell the US government that in their prosecution of SBF, where 50% of the things were signal screenshots.
Actually, so I'm surprised that should exist. Deniability wasn't higher up in your dreams list.
Mm. I think it should exist, but I think that I would really want it to happen. And actually, you make a good point. I want it to happen because I kind of feel that it replicates the in-person experience when you're online. Because when you're talking in person, you have this confidence that you if you will be repeated, no one will believe them or something like that. Mm. And
no
that should be the case.
To us. Don't worry. This is in pure confidence, Kobe.
Yeah, right now.
I know. But like Tarun said, they are using this as evidence in courts, and they
in
shouldn't
court,
be able
yeah,
to.
Exactly, yeah, exactly.
They shouldn't be able to.
I just think like there's a sense in which there's all this stuff that already exists. And don't get me wrong, despite all the hacks to TEs and whatever, they clearly are being used by hundreds of millions of people every day, yeah. maybe billions, right? And I don't know, chipping off 1% of that to me is like the ultimate, that would be a good success case, right, for ZK.
I mean, every Apple machine, there you go, has a nice little TE in it. Actually, multiple if you're not careful.
Right, yeah.
My dream applications were an identity product people want. So I know you guys already hit that. A popular privacy app that offers a way to have privacy, but does manage to keep some of the criminal activity like clearly at bay, provably at bay. And sort of this is a wish that, I mean, this is a use case or application that's been floated so much, and I doubt it's close, but it would be like any genetic testing. Like I just, the more I learn about the fact that that's out there and such poor privacy controls, it's insane. Mm-hmm. It's so dangerous. And so any sort of medical, like sensitive medical data being secured by ZK would be amazing.
This is Anna discovers differential privacy and for databases arc. This is like a thing that a bunch of people were doing back in 2010.
10 years ago. Cynthia Dwork.
2015, 2016 or something, which is like, how do you do like genetic testing privately without too many queries and all this stuff.
I think a very funny part about this is 23andMe wrote a bunch of papers about this and then proceeded to never use
it. Never do it. Awful.
Not give one shit. Like, not at all.
I think this Stark paper, like that was the example that they gave, right? Like DNA testing.
No, actually.
My last dream application is also the ZK outside of blockchain. There's no tangible use case I can offer there, but just something.
The signal use case is a
would
tangible
be cool.
Non-blockchain use case.
True.
Okay. Yeah. My one thing is ZK and blockchain just happen to play very nicely because blockchain is a very nice database to record public things that can then later be verified.
It's also a very good public verifier. So I write a proof that is publicly verifiable.
Yeah.
Who do I get to verify it? Blockchain.
And it has a funding mechanism built in. I think that's also a big reason why.
Also, that's definitely true. But it's just like, you know, if you're going to go publish, you're going to go down this rabbit hole of doing a bunch of privacy stuff, right? And then be like, okay, cool. I'm just going to host like my public key in like this random server that anyone can take over. It's like, okay, well, like why the hell did you do all of this damn thing in the first place? Someone could just trust your server, you know, to do the right thing. So it's kind of it's this very nice, like, okay, I am publicly broadcasting that, for example, this pub key is indeed mine. And like, here is like a bunch of fancy stuff. Like, and now anyone can access it at any point in time, like without being DOS, because that's kind of the whole point, right? So anyway, sorry, that's my soapbox over.
Although I think more generally that blockchains, like you said, are a good public database that, you know, you can put things there. But more generally, blockchain has been a good source of signed data. And now that you will have more signed data, you can do more outside of blockchain.
All right. We have 15 minutes left in this episode, and we have a few kind of, I'm thinking almost like rapid fire questions we can go through because... Yeah, I had this list that I wanted to share. It was best case scenario for ZK, worst case scenario for ZK, most likely scenario for ZK, black swan event, which I love that we try to predict those, and breakthroughs that could change everything. Okay, so best case scenario for ZK in 2024. Go.
Something that isn't a roll-up gets more than 10 users.
Very cool.
And isn't the orb.
Okay, yes.
I see some kind of solution to like the Sybil attacks, right? So again, not the orb, not necessarily a proof of personhood, but get use ZK to get rid of like spam and bots, essentially.
Mm. Kobe.
Non-financial privacy gets more attention. And the performance of client-side proofs, like Guillermo was saying, that's going to be really important for 2024.
Okay, best case, Guillermo.
A famous Web2 application using ZK in some not in some small but non-trivial way. And this is stealing a little bit of Nico's.
Wait, quick question, quick question. Do you consider non-consumer facing Web2 applications as
yes,
that?
I do, actually.
So like if Cloudflare does this and no one knows, that counts.
That's fine. Okay. Mm-hmm. This is best case scenario for ZK. I mean, mine was breakthrough into the mainstream conscience in the best way, in like a really positive, obvious, like the benefits are clearly articulated way. That would be the best case scenario for ZK in 2024.
Wow, we're going for some real dreams here.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, worst case scenario for the ZK. I'm going to start because I just shared mine. Mainstreamed in the worst possible way, connected to crime.
Yes.
Or whatever, like something worse, like the worst possible.
Wait, I feel
possible...
like that was 2022.
It was a little
bit. That's happened
but...
already.
Yeah, but I feel like it could be worse. No, I don't know fair. If it was that mainstreamed. Like,
No, I agree. It wasn't mainstream.
A lot of people outside of this space didn't really hear that much about that.
It was mainstream and crypto hearing about ZK.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
They didn't associate it necessarily with ZK, but that's my worst case scenario for ZK.
Wait, I have another one to add for best case.
Oh, okay.
Sorry. Best case, there's a meme coin based off ZK.
Oh.
Like we need the Dogecoin of ZK.
Okay, worst case, there's a meme coin of ZK. just kidding. But that's good. Okay, worst case though, Tarun, what's your worst case?
The worst case to me is probably ZK rollups are unable to get traction at the expense of optimistic rollups. And then optimistic rollups sort of... to Kobe's, what Kobe hinted at in the beginning, like maybe don't care as much about full guarantees over time.
Mm-hmm.
And don't, you know, like the saying like, hey, we're going to add ZK is sort of more lip service than action or something. Like that would be bad, right? Because like it would kind of be like ZK gets strung along as like ZK rollups or ZK used in rollup security is touted as being important. But then... it's sort of more of the straw man thing, and that's not like good in the long run because then people will just be like, well, no one cares about this technology, right? So that to me is the worst case, doomsday.
That's a good worst case. Okay, Guillermo, what's your worst case?
Worst case is cryptography wars 2.0. That's my worst
what
case.
What does that mean?
So I guess quickly in the 90s, there was a bunch of cryptography wars because the U.S. government did not allow the creation nor export of essentially open source software to do cryptography.
It was considered military or something, right?
That's right. And so putting it in open source would be considered like, you know, releasing military munitions to like foreign governments or something.
The nice thing is that so many people working in ZK aren't in the U.S. So I don't think this is like, this is much less of the 90s and 80s problem as it is.
Unfortunately,
then it was like 100% here.
Yeah, but the EU and the UK are not headed, let's say, in the best direction on that.
Yeah.
So,
exactly. Yeah.
As long as there's enough difference in direction, like as long as they're not like a vector all pointing in the same direction, but there's some diffusion, I actually think that's fine. Then they won't agree on something.
You can just jump them from one to the other as needed.
Exactly.
Hey, Nico.
Worst case is we get cold feet. Like we haven't found the killer app. We start being a bit scared. VC money is dwindling a bit because they got excited about LLMs and people stop dreaming and building, right? Like that's for me, the worst case.
That's a good worst case.
It's like, yeah, it's really
yeah, it's great.
Okay, Kobe.
So first of all, the constant one is a big hack. Snarks are broken. Starks are broken. Binance is broken.
That's my likely.
That's my black swan. Most likely. Oh my God, Nico.
Well, not in that way. I'll tell you in a second when we get there.
That was my black swan also.
Yeah. Like, wow, we all have the same black swan.
But two orders of magnitude in performance to fix it. And we kind of go back and be really sad and maybe opt to use centralized or optimistic solutions for many, many years because of that.
Mm.
that would be bad.
That's bad.
But yeah.
Okay, most likely.
So I have Hack, but not in the way like snarks are broken, but more like one ZK app or one thing that is deployed is going to have a vulnerability and we're not going to catch it before it's live. And we've seen like audits catch really important things. We've seen white hats and bug bounty programs catch very important things. So I think there will be a hack. And the sooner the better, if anything.
Wow.
You're the person who exposes their children to allergens to reduce their future allergies.
A good idea, mind you.
Yeah.
Perhaps. Unclear, but...
Okay, most likely...
Honestly, for me, it's most likely the still remains like a mostly research year with not that many applications found.
Ooh.
I know. Sorry.
Tarun, most likely.
Most likely is that I'm gonna be the optimist here, is that one ZK rollup, I'm not sure which one, will cross $1 billion in some notion of value locked this year. But the irony is it might not be a Ethereum ZK rollup. I'm not saying that I think that's true, but I do think there's so many non-EVM ZK rollups that people are interested in 2024. And like, I think one of them will launch and maybe we'll have a craze around it also.
Is it a ZK rollup if it's not on Ethereum?
Don't talk to any of these Bitcoin ZK rollup people. You'll suddenly get some very funny answers.
Oh, is that where you're thinking it might be on Bitcoin?
No. I'm not saying it will be, I do think that there are the Bitcoin ZK rollup community is very weird.
Whoa.
And I do think if they launched $1 billion of TVLs are easy for them to get.
We should have that on the show. We have never covered that. That is like, is it weird good?
I do feel like they're forced to use Starks. But that's something, you know, maybe on an episode where you interview someone, you can talk to them about. But like, I think it's basically impossible to do snarks, and mainly because elliptic curves are very annoying to deal with in Bitcoin script versus hashing.
Kobe, most likely.
I think some specific ZK applications will be deployed on new systems or like in a more performant way. But when I say applications, I don't mean something that really people need or use yet, but I just mean use cases that are possible for people to use. So something like ZKML or thing of that sort. I think that kind of thing will be deployed. And I also think that we will still have messy ZK developer experience that will not be what we want yet, although there is huge leaps there, but not yet. And the last thing would be that we will potentially, because of these new things that I mentioned, there will be more devs doing ZK.
Don't we love the messy experience? Like, it's part of the charm of doing ZK.
That's part of the fun, right? Yeah.
All right. Black Swan time.
It sounds like we all have the same one.
Well... yeah, one of mine was major bug in an underlying Groff16 library or some fundamental Plonk version that everyone is using.
Yeah, same. And it's funny because but it's funny that if we're all convinced of this, is it really a Black Swan event? Or is it just that we're just all waiting to hit the wall?
Yeah, Black Swan is kind of a funny, it's like the thing we fear. Maybe this should be like boogeyman, like the thing under the bed, the thing we're actually scared of. But
it exists. That's the thing.
Yeah. I maybe I would condition mine on like, I actually think the source of this will like more likely come from translation rather than like intrinsic bug. Like, you know, there's all these compilation steps and translation steps, and like actually auditing the whole end-to-end thing is much harder than any individual piece. And I think those translation steps, like between like a circuit and a polynomial representation, or between, you know, somewhere in there is... yeah, that's exactly. It's like stuff like that that is much more likely to be the...
wow.
Mm-hmm.
There's a really good report by the Open Zeppelin team, actually, about a recent like sort of misimplementation of Fiat Shamir bug that they found, which I recommend.
Guillermo, Black Swan.
This is the one that I had the hardest time with. I mean, like, yeah, I could say hack, but I wanted to come up with something more interesting, and unfortunately, I don't think I did. The hard part about black swans is that you can't predict them.
I have another one. Should I share mine then?
Yeah, sure. I'll
fill in. So it's a politician. A powerful politician hears about ZK, doesn't understand it, and trains their guns on it.
Oh, I guess that's like Guillermo's. That's sort of like Guillermo's worst case.
Yeah. It's where I was going with it with that. Like, it'd be the unfortunate happenstance of someone who doesn't really know what they're talking about doing things. But many such cases, I guess.
Yeah.
I think another black swan would be that a politician is a proponent. That's even more surprising.
Yeah, black swans have to be bad, right? I guess it's true.
Yeah, it could be. It could be a like.
Aren't they bad usually? Imagine
if like Donald Trump was like, "I love ZK. No one can see my NFT sales." What are you going to say? What are you going to say about that? Like,
oh my god, very good. Okay, last point. We don't have too much time left. I had no answer for this one. It's breakthroughs that could change everything.
I have some cryptography dreams.
Yeah, that's what I thought. There might be some like cryptography breakthroughs that could change everything.
So one of them is what we call witness encryption. So I encrypt something to like a public key, and the private key is like some secret that no one knows yet, but someone might discover it later. And whoever discovers the secret first gets to decrypt whatever I wrote. That has some really strong potential applications. The other one is indistinguishability obfuscation, like IO.
Indistinguishability obfuscation.
That was what I was going to say. Damn it.
Oh, really? Oh. Nice. Great. We're happy we're all here. But it's the idea that like you can hide the inner workings of your program. So you have a program that's public, but you hide the inner workings. So inside it can contain like a private key. And it can do some secret stuff, but the rest of the world isn't aware of how it's happening.
Cool. Tarun, do you want to expand?
Yeah, I think IO at least has like some of the dreams that people have of private computation. Despite sort of all the complexity theory problems with it, of like, well, if you really can make a practical IO, then you have some very weird things about P equals NP. Or not have to be true. But I think there's kind of this idea that, you know, if we think about something like ZK, you have like fully public program, fully public trace can be verified. And then you have FHE where it's like, there's still some public information, sufficiently enough public information that side channel stuff you have to be much more careful with. But IO somehow lets you not have to think that hard about that in theory. So it's this idea of like you can be lazy about how you send people information and still be kind of like, all right, well, they can't really figure out everything. Versus like, you know, whenever people talk about FHE, right, the number one criticism, which usually people love giving, is, someone has to decrypt the final output. Mm-hmm. Right. And like the threshold group has to decrypt it. And IO lets you avoid some of that. And so the TE people have no remark to IO. But then again, IO also means complexity theory stuff is not fun, if true. So
That's interesting. That's actually not my biggest criticism with FHE.
You should read Andrew Miller's criticisms. They're always about this.
Yeah. Like my biggest is the fact that like you don't know what runs there. Like, people can run anything about in your server text. So,
what is a breakthrough that you think could change everything?
So, unfortunately, it's similar to what the others have said a bit, which is this indistinguishability obfuscation.
IO, learned short form. Exactly. Okay.
IO, lowercase I, capital O.
Oh.
Where the way that I like to look at it, and I think that I've seen also Vitalik using this framing, which is that smart contracts can then hold private keys, which is something that would be extremely powerful. Mm. That would change a lot.
Amazing. What about you, Guillermo? What is a breakthrough that could change everything?
I was going to say like actually practical, like ZK. Like I think it's still the biggest one. It's like it's boring, it's simple, it's easy. It's something we could probably just do, but still haven't done.
All right. So I feel like we have covered all of the questions that I came prepared with, all of our predictions, but we actually also have some like tangible events coming up that we wanted to share. So next week, January 16th, we are kicking off our four-week ZK Hack 4 online event. And actually, it will be kicking off with Kobe, Nico, and I doing a presentation. This is sort of Nico's brainchild, the ZK Jargon Decoder. But we're doing a session live as part of our event. So maybe we can talk a little bit about that. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I started when I joined like the ZK world, I guess, like a year and a half, 2 years ago, came across a lot of new words. And often you get different definitions for them. And eventually when you understand the concept, you're like, ah, that wasn't so hard. Why did it take me so long? So I started writing these small definitions, which I hoped would shorten the path for everyone. And I guess now we're doing a live session. So we're going to cover some definitions. We're going to hopefully take some live questions as they come in. Yeah.
Should be fun. And this is happening on January 16th. We are doing 4 weeks this time for ZK Hack 4 online. It's virtual. Anyone can join. It's free. I'll add the link in the show notes. We might even have a mention of this in the intro of this episode. And I want to do a little throwback to the origin story here, because ZK Hack generally as a project started as this multi-week online event. And this is the fourth time that we're running it. Anyone who's familiar with the show would have heard about ZK Hack. It has since spun out into a full, like its own project, its own company. It has a very active Discord. And this time around, we're going to be doing three puzzles. Kobe, do you want to share a little bit about the puzzles? Because I know they're coming together already. So yeah, share a little about what people can expect.
Yeah, happily. So just as a context for people that maybe haven't seen all the puzzles from before. So usually the puzzles are about how protocols can break in ways that are real. And some of the puzzles that we show are actually exploits that have been out there in the wild. And what I know about myself, and I think I've seen that works for others as well, is that people really learn the best by doing. And so when they understand how to actually exploit the protocol themselves using this more self-contained example, and that helps them learn a lot on the way. And specifically for ZK Hack 4, we came up with a theme for the puzzles, which is what happens when you hand wave your security proofs? which is really, really something that we sometimes see out there.
Don't roll your own crypto.
And if you do, write proper proofs, at least. And when you don't, that's what happens. And the puzzles are, as usual, are Arcworks-based, and people can catch up. I'll also share some resources on X for people to catch up on things. Mm-hmm. That's the plan.
Very cool. And our plan, and since this event is actually running 4 weeks, so we're meeting every Tuesday for a workshop, and in between those workshops, that's when that puzzle hacking competition is running. So we're going to have three unique puzzles spread out over 4 weeks. Each week, we're going to let one out in the wild, and then hopefully you solve it quickly. It's very CTF-like, so the faster you solve it, the more points you get. But obviously, it has to be solved correctly. and there will be prizes and glory to be achieved through this. We also, Kobe, this is our fourth time doing this. The ZK Hack project really started from your idea of doing the puzzles, and then we kind of built everything around it. I know for me, it's like a way to get to know some of the experts in the space, especially those who might be like working in teams but aren't on stages, they're not loud on Twitter. All of a sudden, like the ZK Hack puzzle hacking competition brings them out, and then we get to find out who they are.
ZK Hack 1 has a special place in my heart because that is when I first got in touch with this whole community.
Wow, really?
Like I had studied cryptography and ZK at university.
Oh, no way.
And then, I don't know, didn't really find anything that was kind of privacy-oriented with good people until I came across ZK Hack 1.
Whoa, I didn't know that. Nico, that's so cool.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, I met a lot of really smart and quieter people, like you said, through ZK Hack. And my impression is that it also helped these people get into like the ZK job market as well, mm-hmm. which was great to see. I really loved seeing that. And I also love to see how it grew to have these study clubs or study groups that that exist now, because I think that's also been really influential for people.
Totally. You just mentioned actually hiring. We should mention there's going to be a ZK Jobs Fair, which is a recruiting and like job finding opportunity. We do this virtual, we kind of create a virtual space. Teams can meet with potential applicants, but it's very casual. So you can do this without, like, before you send the application, get to know the team you're thinking of working with over at the job fair. And that will be happening after our final session on February 6th. Cool. Okay, I have one other event I want to mention, which is ZK11. Applications to attend or speak are open now. I'll add the link to that in the show notes too. It's invite only, so you do have to apply even to attend. So yeah, keep that in mind. Tarun, you have an event coming up too. What's going on in your world?
Yeah, so just high level, basically a bunch of us sometime last year, I think around East Denver last year, we're thinking about sort of the state of more like DeFi research and mechanism research within crypto. There's sort of this interesting thing where it's sort of in this like no man's land in between pure econ research and pure sort of algorithmic game theory research. And it hasn't had like its own conference venue or place where people kind of share ideas on it. You know, kind of, it's not really in consensus, it's not really in ZK, it's not really in mechanism design, it's not really in econ. Like, it kind of has this like weird, it's in the middle thing. And so we were like, hey, how do we make a new venue for research that is in that form? And like, some of that has gotten published in all these different subfields, but like a place where that the real gestation of those ideas can come to their full fruition. And that is what TLDR is, which stands for the latest in DeFi research. It's not, maybe the name is a little bit not.
Sounds amazing.
And we're going to our research. First conference in May. We also funded, forget the exact number, but I think it's like 12 fellows for doing research. So we have a fellowship program. So people who are interested in DeFi research, but like needed sort of a kick and some money, kind of can do it. So that'll be in May 2024.
Amazing. Thank you all for coming on and sharing with us this look forward at 2024 in ZK.
Remember, everything you have said in this podcast can and will be used against you in next year's podcast.
True. All right. Big thank you to the podcast team, Henrik, Rachel, Tanya, and to our listeners. Thanks for listening.